Praise God. I have two scriptures that I would like you to take a note of this morning. And my first scripture is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and verses 22 onwards. Praise God. And then I have one more scripture from Ephesians 5:27, which is my key scripture for the day. And my message is entitled, The Glorious Church. Amen. I want you to say it to your neighbor, the glorious church. Hallelujah. And so the scripture that I'm going to read is also going to be placed on your screen so you can read it. Praise God. It says, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Amen. Can we read the next verse? 23. Praise God. And to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we'll read one more verse, verse 24. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Praise God. And we will also keep that in mind as the key scripture. And we will also turn to the other scripture that I have, which is in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27. Ephesians 5 and verses 27. That he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Amen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we look unto you this morning for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We look unto you this morning for the presence of the Holy Spirit to fill us up, Lord, for you're coming for a holy church, a glorious church. Father, we thank you that in a time such as this, we don't want to waste any more time, but we want to be sold out for you. We want your word to dwell richly in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for this new covenant that you gave us by the blood. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that you gave us. We thank you, Jesus, that we have come to Mount Zion. We have come to the assembly. We have come, Lord, to the gathering of your people this morning. And Lord, you are in our midst. Lord, we thank you that you will send your warring angels. You will send your heavenly hosts. And you will send, Lord, even all, Father God, that we need to be equipped in this end time. That we will be like the five wise virgins to prepare ourselves, to trim our lamps, and to receive, Lord. Even, oh, Father God, the bride that you are coming for is a holy bride, Lord. And so, Father, what a joy and a privilege this morning. Lord, we pray that you cleanse us in your blood. We pray that you wash us in your blood. We pray you purify your church today. And we pray you make us holy because you are coming for a church that's ready, Lord. And we thank you once again in Jesus' name for this word that is going to be spoken. Bless every one of us and let this service be anointed of you. And let this service be partakers, Lord, of what you have poured down upon us. Send your gifts upon us. Send your love upon us and help us, Lord, to go back rejoicing in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. As we go into the Word, praise God, I would also like you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. And I want to read only two or three verses. But you know the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. It says there was a delay in the coming of the Lord. And while there was a delay, they somehow slumbered. If you come to this verse of verse 6, it says, at midnight, a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. You know, I've often pondered on this parable, and I think it's more deeper than just reading it. There's a deep message in this. It says, in the midnight hour, there was a cry, behold, the bridegroom comes. Go you out to meet him. You know, and verse 7 says, all of those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. But guess what? Only five had enough oil. Five missed out because they didn't have sufficient oil. The story goes on to say that even as they went out to buy, it was too late and they missed it. If you've been to Israel or if you've been to the Galileans, you know, they had a fantastic way of a bride and a groom meeting together. And the history of what Jesus is talking about at the parable of this parable, you have to look at it from the custom and the culture of the Jewish people, especially the Galileans. And so at that time, I was watching a movie, and I believe you should watch that movie. It's a fantastic movie. I don't know whether you heard about it, but if you're interested in watching that movie, I can tell you the name of the movie. But that movie was recently an eye-opener about how to prepare for the coming of the Lord. And in the context of a bride meeting with the bridegroom, there was a lot of preparation. Even after the engagement, the bride didn't know when her would-be fiancé or the husband was going to actually come in and come. It all depended on the father of the bridegroom sending. And when the father of the bridegroom, in Israel custom, decided to send the groom, that was when the bride had always had to be ready. The bride didn't know. The bride didn't know which hour it come. It could come in the midnight. And it is real. This is real. So the Lord is not just speaking a parable here. The Lord is talking about the church getting ready. Amen. And so in real life, in the custom of the Galileans was that when they shared about Matthew chapter 25, they knew exactly what the Lord meant. But today when we read it, we don't understand it because we need to go into the custom and the culture of that time. And so this is like a prelude. This is like a preparation. And we are living in that preparation time. How many of you believe? I believe that this is preparation time before Jesus comes. So how much more we need to get ready, because we don't know the hour when Jesus will come. But I do believe one thing. Hallelujah. For a believer in Christ who's getting ready, for a believer in Christ who's ready for the coming of the Lord, he is going to be ready all the time. And it will not be taken away by unaware. So, you know what? I believe this is the time to trim my lamp. I believe this is the time to have the oil. My biggest emphasis this morning is that we need to get filled with the Holy Spirit and keep our oils burning. So, point number one that I want to share with you this morning is, more than anything else, we need to be full of the Holy Spirit. How many of you agree with me? We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot run this with a little bit of gas. The gas may run dry. The automobile or the car will eventually stop. But we need to have enough gas till the end. We need to have enough flame till the end. We need to have the flame. Hallelujah. We need to have the lamb, which is the word of God. We need to have the fire, which is the faith to endure all things. You know what? You will be tested. Some of you will be tested. You will be tried. But don't give up on this journey. Because you know what? When the Lord is with you, you know the Lord will help you in all your battles. So, verse 13, the last verse that I want to read from this portion is, watch therefore, for you do not neither know the day or the hour in which the Son of Man comes. So that is very true. The next scripture that I want to read very quickly is to share my point number two. My point number one is get filled with the Holy Spirit. Point number two, that is for the season and for this time that we are living in, we need the Holy Spirit. And I can go on sharing just on Matthew chapter 25, but that's not the point. I want to share with you some vital points that what we all need to accelerate, and we need to get fired up for Jesus. Hallelujah. The second point that I want to share is from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2. And some of you know that by heart. And it simply says in Isaiah 60, 1 and 2, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Though darkness covers the earth, and gross darkness the people, I, the Lord, will cause His light to shine upon you. I know it's not there on the screen, but praise God, I was meaning to write verse 2 as well. But it says, arise and shine. This is the time for the church to arise. This is the time. In one sense, Mount Zion represents the church. In one sense, the church of the living God is active, is alive. How many of you know the church is not sleeping? The church is a glorious church. We are alive in this hour and a time, a season. It's not time for us to be sleepy. It's time for us to awake. One of the things that Sister Alice was saying as she walked in is, I'm no more alert now. I'm more sharp now than before. That's what God does. He gives you alertness. He gives you sharpness. He wants you to be sensing. Yesterday there was a storm that blew over Kentucky and Alabama, and there was a lot of destruction, and I was seeing that, you know, it was mass destruction all of a sudden. You know what? We shouldn't be taken unawares. You know, God knows how to protect us. Yeah, but we also need to know that things are unprecedented, things are happening around, even around our neighborhood sometimes, right? So we need to be aware of these things. We need to know that these are not days just, you know, just be just lethargic and sluggish and you know, not knowing what's happening. But we need to be aware of the times and the seasons. So we need to pray for Kentucky. We need to pray for, I don't know the states that got affected, but I saw a whole heap of houses. I think more than 70 people died, about 70 people was what I read in the news, but maybe you know better. I don't watch so much the news, but you know what? We have the good news that the Lord is with us all the time. We don't fear nothing. Hallelujah. If it's our time to go, we'll go anyway. Hallelujah. So my wife was calling me this morning, and she said, I heard about some of these things that happened. I said, don't worry. It's not in Texas. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I was at that time, yesterday morning at 8 o'clock, I was actually. There was a food bank where they give out food in Rivera, Texas, and I was with Pastor Light. And while he was there, I said, you know what? I don't want to just waste my time while they're giving out food. And I said, let me use this opportunity to preach the gospel. So I had a microphone that I hung around with me, and I had tracks with me, and I stood there with the American flag, and I started to preach about Jesus, and I started to talk about the Lord. And praise God, hallelujah. Even if one soul comes to the Lord, there's great rejoicing in heaven. One young lady came up to me, and she said, you know what? I asked her this question, do you believe in evolution, or do you believe in that God created you? And she didn't know the answer. And she's like confused. Maybe the school has started the wrong thing. But you know what I told her? I told her that Jesus created you. And I ended up asking her if she would like to say the prayer and receive the Lord. And she did receive the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. In fact, on the 18th, they're having a Christmas event, a program. And I invited her for that. Then another young man came up to me. I prayed over him. And he said, I felt fire in my chest. I said, yeah, that's the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will warm you up. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will just cause you to get radically sold out. These two young people, hallelujah. So I'm saying this because, you know, every opportunity we need to use the Lord. So I started to share, and all of a sudden there was dark clouds coming, and the wind was blowing. And thank God I had enough warm clothes on. But when the wind was blowing so strong, it seemed like it was going to rain. But do you know God has given you authority over the clouds? God has given you authority over the storm. So I took the authority that God gave me, and I said, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I take authority. It's not going to rain. And it began to rain, actually. I said, in Jesus' name, I'm commanding those dark clouds to move away. And in the name of Jesus, in 5 or 10 minutes, the sunlight came up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good, I'm telling you. God can answer your prayer. He's given you authority and power over all the power of the enemy. Don't fear the enemy. The enemy is under your feet in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm about to preach now. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I get excited about what the Lord does. Hallelujah. Point number two is, don't be conformed to the image of Jesus. Romans chapter 12, verses 2. Romans 12, 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How many of you want to be transformed like a butterfly? How many of you want to be radiating for the Lord? How many of you want to have the joy of the Lord all the time? When people look at you, if you have a sad countenance, they're going to say, hey, this brother looks so sad. This sister looks so gloomy. But you know what? If you have the joy of the Lord, you can tell your neighbor, hey, I've got joy in my heart. And nobody can take it away. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's what we need to do. We need to renew our mind. Put your mind and say, Lord, renew my mind. Come on, say that. Renew my mind. That you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. I believe with all my heart this is a time to ask God to renew our mind, to renew our heart. Amen. Hallelujah. We believe that in transformation, we believe that God wants to transform us from glory to glory. We believe that we are going from faith to faith, from line upon line. We need to study the word and we need to conform ourselves to the image of Jesus Christ. I see in every one of you Jesus. I see in every one of you Christ in you. I see in every one of you that you carry the presence of God. I see in every one of you the Holy Spirit residing in you. Because you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And the only gospel that others are going to see is Christ living in you. Hallelujah. I'm excited, more excited than ever before. Because you know what? When people told me don't go to America, I came to America. People said, hey, there's COVID around. People in America told me don't come. But you know what? I'm here to tell you, when Jesus wants you to go, you must go. Don't be afraid of the storm. Don't be afraid of the enemy, because the Lord is with you. I'm running through my scriptures because otherwise pastor won't give me another chance to preach. Isaiah 42 verses 9. Isaiah 42 verses 9. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isaiah 42 verses 9. What does it say? Praise God. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and the new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I will tell them to you. God's going to reveal to you the secrets of his heart. God's going to show you the things to come. Don't be afraid of negative news that comes out of the media and all the media that goes on, the hype that goes on. You know what? I sometimes say, hey, let's stop listening to this news. Because you know what? The news, the good news is in the word. The good news of Jesus supersedes every other news. So you know what? Whatever you need to know about the future, it's already there. The book of Revelation, I don't need anybody to prophesy about what's going to come. It's all there in the book. Hallelujah. It's all there in the book of all books. Hallelujah. You know what's going to come. You are not going to be taken unawares. You're not going to be taken darkness, because that night will come when you'll be ready to meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. So it says, the former things shall, the new things I will declare. Even before they spring up, I will tell them to you. I believe God reveals to the prophet. I believe if somebody says he's going to be the next president, and if he is not the next president, something went wrong with that prophecy. But I do know one thing. If God says something in his word, it will happen. And I know in his word, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Glory be to God. And you're excited God's word never changes. And you're excited that this book has it all in full. This book tells you in everything that's going to happen. This book says it from the beginning to the end. Hallelujah. And this book is a book of prophecy too. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. The book of Isaiah is the greatest book of all books. It talks about Jesus coming into the world. It talks about things to come. What a great book you have to research and study and know, the book of Isaiah. I'm telling you, he was the most fascinating prophet of all, the prophet Isaiah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God I'm not Isaiah. Thank God I'm only Amos, as pastor said. Hallelujah. I wish I could be one. Hallelujah. I'm just Matthew Jacob. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Let's go into the word. It says here, denying your flesh. Galatians 2:20. Let's turn to Galatians 2:20. I know this is one of my most favorite verses in the Bible. Even if you don't memorize scripture, by heart this scripture. It'll do you good. It'll do you good every day to think about Galatians 2:20. And I can boldly say, this scripture will take you, hallelujah, to live a life pleasing to the Lord. It says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm talking from the King James Version now. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. How many of you know Christ lives in you? Christ lives in you. Christ lives in you, the hope of glory. I am crucified with Christ. What does that mean? That means you're dead. That means your old man is dead. That means your old lifestyle is dead. That means your old habits are dead. That means your old ways are dead. And you are crucified with Christ. That's what you did when you took the water baptism. That's why every time you take Holy Communion, it's a reminder that the world is, you are dead to the world and the world is dead to you. And that's why I want to tell you, this scripture needs to be bi-hearted by everybody. It says, the life that I now have, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not faith in the Son of God, faith of God, faith of Jesus, the faith of Christ, the faith that God gave you, the God kind of faith, the God kind of faith that lives in you, the God kind of faith is what you have to operate. I'm preaching like a Pentecostal, because you know what? It's not the label that's important. You need the fire of God in you to say, hey, hallelujah, I have some of it. And I want to tell you, the faith that you have is the faith of Jesus. It's not Pentecost. It's not Baptist. It's not Presbyterian. It's not Catholic. It's the faith of Christ. It's the faith that Jesus lives in you. I don't know what label you have, but you have Christ in you. And that's the important label. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. It says the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. Hallelujah. God loved you so much. He gave himself. And life is all about giving. Life is all about giving. Christmas is all about giving. And life, the best that we can do is to give ourselves to others. People are hurting. People are dying. People don't have answers. But you have the hope of glory in you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And so, it's very, very important that we crucify our flesh. The next scripture is a very important scripture in the Bible that believers should make note of. It's from 1 John chapter 2, verses 15, 16, and 17. It says, deny the flesh. How do you deny the flesh? It means simply that you put to death the deeds of the flesh. And the Bible talks about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. But in Galatians chapter 5, but I want to read to you from 1 John chapter 2, 15, 16, and 17. And let's see what it says. 1 John chapter 2, 15, 16, and 17. It says there, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's a strong word. Don't love the world. What is the world? Hallelujah. What are the things of the world? Is God saying, don't stay in the world? No. He's saying that you've got to be detached from what the world offers you. And what does the world offer you? Verse 16 talks about it. Verse 16 tells you what the world offers. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. How many great men of God, how many spiritual giants have fallen? Because they have fallen as a trap to one of those things. And you can see that all over. Many, many great men of God, many, many great giants who have almost come to the finishing line. And some of them, they lost it all. And so I think it is so important that we pray for one another, that we will run the race well, that we will finish well, that we will not love the world. We will not love the things of the world. We will not love the desires of the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Because that's not from God. That's of the world. But we live in the world, but we are not of the world. We live in a sin-sick world, but we are overcomers through the blood of Jesus, who has given us victory. Hallelujah. And so, let's look to Jesus always. The next scripture that I want to read for you is from Psalm 23, verses 6. It says, surely goodness and surely mercy will follow you all the days of your life. I want to encourage you this morning that goodness and mercy is following you. That where you go, hallelujah, hallelujah, goodness and mercy will follow you. Hallelujah. If somebody wants to have another child, say, name that child goodness and name the other one mercy, because goodness and mercy must follow you all the days of your life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Goodness and mercy will follow you. And I like that scripture so much because the previous verse says, your cup shall run over. Your cup will run over. When your cup will run over, when your cup runs over, hallelujah, there's joy. Because God gives you joy. Hallelujah. I was a guy who could not smile. I was a guy who was sad. I was a guy who was depressed. I was a guy at the age of 17, 18, I had no joy in my life. I had no connection with the Father. I did not know God as a Father. I thought He was somebody up there who banged you when you made a mistake. But thank God you have a loving Father. Thank God when you have tasted the love of the Father, He embraces you. He loves on you. He gives you His goodness. He gives you His kindness. He makes you to understand, hallelujah, life is worth living for. Hallelujah. I miss my wife. I miss my family. But what keeps me going is the love of God. What keeps me going is the joy of the Lord. My classmate friend is saying, hey, you staying too long in the U.S. Hallelujah. But you know what? Hallelujah. Whatever it is, hallelujah, whether I'm here or whether I'm in India, we serve the same Jesus. And as much as I want to get back to India, I know there is a reason that I'm here right now to tell you this good news, that there's a work to be done in America. I want to wake you up. I want to say, hey, the time has come that you are the only gospel that people will see. It's time to share this gospel. It's time to wake people up. It's time to tell people to come back to church, because church is where the assembly of the saints is. Hallelujah. I'm almost coming to an end, Pastor. Don't worry. Hallelujah. We have a good meal to go. Psalm 46 verses 1. It says, Psalm 46:1. And I believe Psalm chapter 46 is a prophetic psalm. It's a very important psalm for the end time. But I'm only reading one verse. It says, God is our refuge and strength, and he's a very present help in the time of trouble. Whatever trouble you're going through, whatever difficulty you're going through, I want to tell you, God is a present help. He is a present help in the time of trouble. No matter what troubles you're going through, I don't know what problems you're facing. It may be your children, maybe your grandchildren. It may be something that you've been praying for, something that you are asking God. He says he's your present help. Oh, what a prayer answering God we have, that he is your help in the time of trouble. He is the help in the time of need. He's your refuge. He's your shelter. And he will help you in your trouble. Call upon this. Read this Psalm 46, the whole chapter when you go back home. And call upon this verse by verse. Meditate on it. Hallelujah. And finally, in conclusion, I want to tell you, never forget the Word of God. Don't come to Sunday to open your Bible. Every day we need to read the Word. Psalm chapter 1, it says in 2 and 3, it says 1, 2 and 3 are very important. It says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffer, scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. What a better time than this, than to meditate on the Word of God. How much more better it is for us to spend time in the Word of God these days, because God's Word will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Word of God. Make time for the Word. If you're a busy person, as a lot of people say, if you're busy, you're being under Satan's yoke. And so let's not get busy in the things of the world, but let's find time to have intimacy with God. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the mighty, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the mighty, Psalms 91, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. I want to conclude here. I want the worship leaders to come forward. This morning, if you need the Holy Spirit, if that's what you need, the new wine, like the five wise virgins had enough and more, you can come forward. We'll be more than glad to lay hands and pray over you. If you need, hallelujah, to be transformed by the renewal of your mind, you can ask God to do it. Hallelujah. If you want the goodness of the Lord and the kindness of the Lord to live a crucified life, say, God, I want to live this crucified life. If you want to say no to the world, if you want to repent of your sins, if you want to call upon Jesus, if you want to give your life over to Jesus, if you want to be like a butterfly, if you want to fly over and say, God, I want to be transformed from the caterpillar to the butterfly, you have a couple of days, a couple of weeks to prepare yourself as you enter. But let me say, don't make a list of do's and don'ts. Just ask God to do it for you, because it's all done. Only when God changes you, you are changed. So if there's anybody here, you want to change yourself, let me tell you, you can't change yourself. Only the Holy Spirit can. If you want to give your heart to Jesus, and you're not just confused, and you're a young person, and not knowing whether you're saved, I want to give you that invitation right now, that you would ask Jesus to come in. The Bible says there's great rejoicing in heaven. I know when I was 18 years old in that Catholic church, I went on my knees and I said, Jesus, is your real coming? I don't know, Lord, but I want you desperately. And as I call upon Jesus, peace filled my heart, joy filled my heart, and I got changed over. I want to tell you, there's somebody here. You're not born again. You're not sure whether you're going to heaven. And you want to receive Christ in your heart. I want to give you that opportunity right now to pray with you. If you're that person, I want you to slip up your hand one moment, that I know that you need prayer, and I can pray with you right now. You're not sure of your salvation. You're not sure if you die right now where you're going. You want to make it for sure that you're going to go with Jesus. I want you to slip up your hand right now and bring it down. Thank you, sister. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? You're not sure where you're going, but today you want to surrender and say, Jesus, I want that peace. I want that joy that he's talking about. I want that goodness he's talking about. I want that mercy he's talking about. I want all the gifts of the Holy Spirit that he's talking about. Just lift up your hand right now and bring it back, that I can pray for you. Thank you. Thank you, man of God. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to pray. Any young person here that wants to give the heart to Jesus, hallelujah, you're not sure right now if the Lord calls you, you'll make it or not. You can be like the five wise virgins. You can be like the five wise virgins and not like the five foolish virgins who missed it because they were not ready. Hallelujah. If you're that person, you want to say, Lord, I want you back in my life. You're backslidden or you're gone astray. You can give your heart back to the Lord and say, God, that backsliding in my life has to go, and I have to be sold out for you from today. If you feel like that, you can say, Jesus, come back. Jesus, I repent of my sins. Anybody else? Hallelujah. I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you for those that lifted their hands. And I just pray, God, we welcome you, Lord. We welcome you, Lord, the creator of the universe, God of all creation. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, even for those that need you to come back into their life, I pray, Lord, that you would test them now and may they receive the Father's love. Holy Spirit, we invite you back. And I pray for anybody, Lord, who needs to make sure of his calling, that you would make it sure. I bless them in Jesus' name. I pray for somebody who is uncertain whether to decide to follow you. I pray that today, Lord, the Holy Spirit will convict. And even as they leave the service, they'll give their hearts fully to you, Lord. A surrendered heart. I bind all the works of the enemy. I see there are several people here. You have pain in the foot and God's going to heal you. God shows me that. And you hear that person that has pain in the foot, just like our dear sister Alice May was healed completely. Hallelujah. 6 or 7 months ago. You can be healed today. You can be healed today. You don't have to wait for tomorrow. I know there are some people here. Hallelujah. I see Pastor Scott's mother need healing. God's going to heal you. God's going to heal you. God's going to heal you in the service. And I know there are several other people who need healing. But if you want to come forward, you're welcome to come forward. If at the end of the service, you still want me to come up to you and pray over you, I'm more than glad. Hallelujah. I want to quickly sum up everything that I've shared by saying this is the season and the time where you need to pray like you've never prayed before. We need to urge one another to pray. I would ask you, those of you who can fast, at least try to fast once in a week. And you know, usually what I do is from the 26th to the 31st, I end up most of the days fasting. And I'm not saying that you have to do that, but if the Lord leads you, please go ahead. But this is an important time of the year when if you can begin to fast once a week, not only this year, but in the new year, you will do well. If you have the gift of speaking in other tongues and you have the gift, please use it. If you don't have the gift, desire the gift. Because speaking in tongues is a very valuable gift. Hallelujah. Let's pray also for Kentucky and for Arkansas and Missouri and for all those places that got affected by probably thousands of homes where the roofs went off, and those people may not be having, you know, they may be in grave danger right now. Let's pray for them and let's share the word of God with somebody and invite someone for the evening service. May the Lord richly bless you. And I'm just going to pray for anybody. The altars are open. We're going to sing a song of worship. And I know the worship leaders will decide which song to sing. But I would say the altars are open. And shall we stand at this time as we, hallelujah, invite the Holy Spirit? I know I've taken a little longer than usual, but there's a good lunch waiting for us. But nevertheless, hallelujah, always good hanging out with Pastor Lewis, because where he leads me, I will follow, and what he gives me, I will swallow. Let's look to the Lord. How many of you want to pray right now? You can come forward, and Pastor's going to pray and close the service, but I'll pray for you individually, and I'll see you in the evening service at 6:30. God richly bless you. Amen. Amen.